We've been talking for months now about all the ballot proposals coming up on November the 7th. One of them that's gotten very little attention is Proposal 4, a proposed constitutional amendment that would prohibit government from taking private property for transfer to another private owner for economic development or increasing tax revenue. This is sort of an insurance policy, I suppose, is the best way to put it, against what has happened with the Supreme Court. Over a year ago, the so-called Kelo decision versus the city of New London, Connecticut, when they took private land and turned it over to a developer for economic development. He wanted to put up some more expensive housing there. So people lost their property, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, they can do that. Here in Michigan, the state Supreme Court has set policy which says you cannot do that. But the proponents of this legislation say that we need it in the state constitution as well. Do we really? Well, here's Patrick Wright. He's senior legal analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, the best think tank in the state of Michigan. Patrick, on the other end of our line, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Frank. How are you?
Good to have you with us. Thank you. I'm doing well, too. The Proposal 4, why do we need it?
Well, the general theory is you need it to prevent a return to what's known as the Poll Town case and to close some loopholes. The language, there's... You know, you talked about Kelo, and Kelo was based on the United States Constitution. And so what's happened basically is the United States Constitution doesn't provide any protection against economic development takings. That was the holding. Now, you mentioned that the Michigan Constitution in the Hathcock case does provide some. And the current version of Article 10, Section 2, which is the Michigan provision that covers this, was used both by the Hathcock Court, which said this was a no-no, and by the Poll Town Court, the same Michigan Supreme Court, which said in 1981 you can level a neighborhood that had 4,200 residents, 1,400 homes, a couple hundred businesses, six churches, and a hospital, also that a GM plant could be put up. So what this is trying to do is to prevent, since there is been divergent case law on it, is trying to prevent a future court from coming back and saying, no, 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 Hathcock was wrong, Poll Town was right, by making it explicit that economic development is not to be allowed. And then secondly, I was talking about loopholes. There's a pretty big loophole, or at least a potential loophole, in the way in Michigan's Constitution, and that regards blight takings. Because you can take entire area for blight, and blight, the definition of blight is so vague and amorphic that you can basically fit any home into it. It's really scary. It's economic obsolescence, the streets laid out wrong, all these wonderful factors. Anyway, if the municipality wants to achieve economic development takings, it can just say, well, what we're really doing is blight, and thereby achieve the same ends. And Proposal 4 closes that loophole.
Mm-hmm. What can homeowners do if, under this new law, someone wants to take their... Well, let's start with this. If Proposal 4 is defeated, mm-hmm. and we continue to operate under the current Supreme Court ruling in the state of Michigan, it's the Hathcock case, is that what it's called?
That is called, correct.
What recourse do homeowners have if someone wants to declare their property blighted?
They can file a challenge in state court. But basically they have to say that the designation is fraudulent or something along those lines. It is a very difficult standard to meet. What would happen if Proposal 4 passed is the first problem is that let's go back, I'm sorry, before Proposal 4 passes under current law, it might be that your property isn't blighted at all. It might be that your property is absolutely pristine, but somebody in the same neighborhood has done a lousy job of keeping up theirs, or maybe two or three or five of your neighbors have done a lousy job of keeping up their property. Should the fact that your neighbors have acted poorly allow the government to come in and take your property?
Mm-hmm.
Many people would answer that no. What Proposal 4 would do would be that a homeowner could not lose their particular piece of property unless that their own piece of property was blighted. So it doesn't matter what your neighbors have done. You don't get punished for their bad deeds.
Well, the other problem I see here is it's going to be very costly for you to protect your own property.
Well, unfortunately, Frank, that's currently the case. But there is some, I will say that there has been some trailer legislation behind this proposal. By the way, this proposal came out of the legislature. It was passed 106-0 by the House and 30-6 by the Senate. But there's been some legislation that has trailed this that is trying to make sure that if you make a good faith challenge to a claim that your land is not being taken for a public use, that you get your attorney's fees, even if you lose.
Well, that's helpful at least. And who is opposed to this legislation?
Well, the folks who would be opposed to this would be your municipal planners, your municipalities, some developers, because quite frankly, for developers, you know, they can go to a city and say, hey, look, I don't want to have to, you know, deal with trying to accumulate all this land. I want to put this project here. By the way, it'll increase your tax revenue, and then, you know, maybe you'll get a political contribution. And lo and behold, an area gets taken, and then the developer gets what they want. So those are kind of the people that want it. You know, the municipalities do believe that they need it for urban development reasons in order to properly build the cities. But that is disputed by Jane Jacobs, who wrote one of the great books on urban planning. She recently died, but she disputed that that eminent domain was needed for that.
Mm-hmm. Can you stick around and take a couple phone calls?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, Patrick Wright from the Mackinac Center is with us on Proposal 4. It's a very important proposal because it affects all of us. It's our property. It's our house. Jeff and Troy, you're on the Frank Beckman Show. Good morning. Say hi to Patrick.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Patrick.
Yep.
I'd just like to know what effect the federal Supreme Court decision has on this legislation, and isn't that going to trump this? I mean, that was a horrible decision the liberals and the moderate on the court made. And, I mean, that went a long way to deciding who I'm voting for this time around, because I don't want to put anybody in the Senate that's going to confirm another liberal justice.
Well, the answer to your question is Kelo does not binding on the states to this extent. And that is Kelo, and that's the United States Supreme Court case, said that the states are allowed to create more protections for property owners. So what Kelo operates as is a constitutional minimum, and then the states are allowed to ratchet up those protections, and that's one of the things that Proposal 4 would do.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Ron in Wolverine Lake, you're on with Patrick Wright on WJR.
Yes, thank you, Frank, for taking my call, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm involved in an eminent domain taking. It's a different type of taking than the Kelo versus New London, Connecticut case. In my taking and in New London, Connecticut, they require just compensation. In the case against the village of Wolverine Lake, it is the taking of property through inverse condemnation of a regulation, and for 17 years, the village has denied me the right to build on my property through this regulation. It is where a piece of property that is denied a building permit for its highest intended use, and it takes away all monetary value of the property, then it is a inverse condemnation, and the property owner is entitled to just compensation. The village of Wolverine Lake went beyond Kelo. It stated that it can take the property through the regulation and pay no compensation. The property is on Roselong Street, and it is adjacent to the village's park property. We offered to sell the property to the village. The village administrator and the village council said that they wouldn't purchase the property, only if the property was vacated for back taxes, and they would purchase it on a back tax sale.
All right. Patrick, does this apply under Proposal 4 at all?
Well, what he's talking about is true. There's a thing called regulatory takings, which means that when the government imposes regulations, they're allowed to impose right now under federal law an awful lot of regulations that diminish the value of the property. It is only when they get to about 95% to 100% of the value of the property that the regulating agency actually has to pay for it. Proposal 4 would not address that in any way, shape, or form right now. However, there is a movement throughout the country. They're out in California, Idaho, Montana, Washington, and Arizona, there are either statutory questions or constitutional questions that would make people pay for regulatory takings. So there is, Kelo has triggered that, that may start coming to Michigan, but it hasn't at this time.
All right, Ron, appreciate the call. Cleveland, Ohio. John, you're on the Frank Beckman Show with Patrick Wright.
Good morning. I wanted to know if purchases made by the Nature Conservancy could be, let's say, invaded by some of these laws by the Supreme Court. Could you comment on that? And then I remember that in, I think it was in L.A., they had, let's say, a Central Park area, which I know is in New York City, the Central Park area of L.A., they were going to condemn or tear down to build the cut down, I guess you'd say, to build a parking garage in L.A., which I thought was pretty abhorrent. But I just wondered if you could comment on how the Nature Conservancy might ever be affected by its purchases for eminent domain.
Any private property that where there isn't higher state protection than the federal constitution is susceptible to being taken for economic development. That's the holding in Kelo, that as long as there is a development plan, and those are quite easy to come up with, that a municipality can take any land. So the Nature Conservancy could lose its land if somebody wanted to build a hotel or a McDonald's or whatever, if they wanted to place that on that land.
All right, John, appreciate the call. Another John, Lapeer, you're on the Frank Beckman Show. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just up front, I want to say I'm a supporter of passage of that proposal, but I was wondering, Jack Moak from Wayne Law School made the argument in Sunday's paper that a individual landowner or a couple individual landowners could be recalcitrant in a worthwhile project and hold up a complete project just by holding out for an exorbitant sum of money, and I'm just wondering what the response to that would be.
Well, it's true that they can hold out. They can hold out under current law as well. What would happen in that situation was if it was truly a public use, let's say a school, a road or something along those lines, then you would go to court and a jury would determine what the fair market value of the property is. If it was the person's principal residence, i.e. their home, it could be at least 125% of its value, and that's to compensate people for the sentimental value of living in their home.
All right, that's at least 125%, right? That's the minimum.
That is correct. That is the language that was used. It's odd language.
All right, John, appreciate the call. One more. Gary in Pontiac, you're on the Frank Beckman Show with Patrick Wright.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I've been involved in some of the things in Detroit in development, especially trying to get for single-family homes developed, and where there have been a couple of instances where very few people would hold out for what may be considered exorbitant sums for their land, and it wound up trumping a large single-family area where the entire area was blighted. And one of the things that the city was saying is that we're providing police protection, fire protection, lighting, street cleaning, etc., to an area that's basically vacant lands and crumbled buildings. How does this proposal 4 going to affect something that has obvious economic development to the city, especially in a place like Detroit or Pontiac or Flint?
Well, the answer to that question is if those people's property was blighted, in other words, if it was dilapidated homes that was falling apart and they hadn't been keeping it up, then of course you'd be allowed to take the property still, even on if Proposal 4 passed. But what if it wasn't? What if those people hadn't done anything wrong, and why can't those houses be built around them? If the property that these holdouts are in is not in it of itself blighted, why did their houses need to be taken and knocked down?
Gary, appreciate the call. Patrick, thanks for the time. What is the Mackinac Center recommending on Proposal 4?
Well, we don't tell people how to vote, but if you do want some more information, please go to our website at mackinac.org. I have a 20-page legal review and analysis, and we have some clips from various speeches that we've given on this. So we do have a lot of information on Proposal 4 on our website, again, mackinac.org.
Thanks, Patrick.